Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Supercoach Big Footy podcast. We're up to round 14. The last of the bye rounds finally going to be behind us. And I think for most of us anyway, last week was the bye round that caused us most troubles with most of the outs. So as normal, welcoming Wayne and Steve to the podcast. Welcome, gents.
G'day, guys. How are we?
And very, very excited that when we set up to do this podcast, there were three people that we had to get on this podcast. And the very first of those three people is here with us, the Mr. Trade Man himself, Judd Magic. Welcome aboard, son.
Thanks, mate. It's an absolute honour to be here. Absolute pleasure.
Now we have a big list of stuff to discuss, not least Scotch and Coke. We'll get to that a bit later. But
I'm drinking it at the moment.
So. number one on the list has got to be the roughing manoeuvre, because I mean, I've got to this point, as most of you would know, that I cracked the shits halfway through last year with every fucking Tom, Dick and Harry saying they've done a roughy manoeuvre. Now, and hopefully you'll back me up here, otherwise I'm fucked. But now the roughy manoeuvre is trading out somebody that's not injured. You've just decided, I've had enough of this prick, I'm trading him out, and then trading him back in later in the year. So if he's injured or suspended or anything like that, doesn't count. It's when you
I think there's variations of the roughy manoeuvre.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Because I think it didn't start off as like a player had to be injured to roughy them back in, but then Uncle Jiska like added that in and like sort of like gave it the green tick. So.
I think that's fair though, because it's fair to say though, isn't it? The roughy manoeuvre, no one did it. Like, you were the only dickhead that was going to trade out.
I'm a pioneer.
Right? But now, Tom, Dick and Harry, oh, English has done a hammy. I'm trading him out and trading him back in. So I've done a roughy. So suddenly everyone's doing roughies now under the new definition. So I think we need to clear it up. So go ahead. Tell us what you reckon.
I'm a man of, like, you know, low tolerance. Like, you know, rough head, like, you know, he was inconsistent. You know, inconsistent for 1 week, he's gone, you know.
Well, a lot of people actually did the roughy this year with Gorn, because he wasn't injured. He was just playing like crap, and then everybody traded him out.
Don't remind me of Gorn. I started with Gorn, traded him out like every other dickhead did, like in, you know, round three or whatever it was. You know, thinking, oh, you know, he's got like a massive break even. You know, traded him out. I roughied him back in. I've done like about. I think I've done like about two or three roughies this year. Like, he was like my, you know, second or third. You know, I'm like losing count. Roughed him back in last week after he's 198. And then the bloody Kent gets injured.
Let me ask you a question, because I reckon I know the answer to this. Can you name the player that you've traded out and traded in the most times in your Supercoach career?
Ah, it's got to be Jelly.
Oh, correct.
We have a love-hate relationship.
Now, this is interesting, because I know you've seriously been considering the last couple of weeks, or at least you say you have been. Now, if someone had burnt me that many times, there is no, like Dusty, there is no chance in the world I'd ever select him. Why the hell do you keep persisting?
I'm a sucker for punishment. That's all I can think of.
You don't believe in the never again list?
Not with Jelly, because I've got a man crush on him. So, yeah, I just when Jelly's like got the afterburners on in full flight, yeah, you know, it's like pure sex. You know, there's nothing better than watching Jelly in full flight. You know, he's like just, you know, it's like, you know, magical.
Every year, Jelly goes on a run of about six or seven games. He just explodes.
I know.
And then he just dies in the ass.
You know what sucks me into him? Like, because I know he can get like those 150s and 160s, and he does it with ease. Like, you know, he can get those 150s and 160s. And when you've got him in your team, and like, even like when you like put the vice captain or captain on him, you know, it's just orgasmic.
it sounds a little bit like Dusty though, where you get a 60 or you get 180 out of him.
Uncle Jiska, yeah, he's like the number one fan of like Dusty.
Starts him every year.
I've been more of a fan of him late because I've just bagged the shit out of him and everyone started with him and he's burned the shit out of him and I'm just sitting there laughing in the corner. But I was a bit disappointed this year because no one started with him.
Uncle Jester, I've finally listened to you. Like I just, you know, it said no Dusty this year. But, you know, I didn't even think about him once.
Isn't it ironic though? Because Dusty's always been on my never list. And the other player that's always been on my never list is Patrick fucking Cripps. And I bagged the shit out of everyone and he's come out of the blocks and I'm sitting there going, nah, don't get sucked in, don't get sucked in, don't get sucked in. And then he's done that hammy and I've just gone, you fucking ripper. And I'm thinking, I can still pick him up at 525. He's averaging 140. I picked him up and he's just been a bucket of crap since.
I think like since Harry McKay has come in, like he'll like do less ruck contests. He won't be used in ruck contests as much.
Juddy, the other question that we were asked to ask you is, what is the secret of your trading mastery? I think you have
just
a responsibility.
Go hard. Like, no regrets. Just go hard and just like, you know. I just like trade like there's no tomorrow, pretty much.
Are you generally sober when you trade?
Not really. I'd say about 99% of the time I'm not.
I was going to say, have you ever traded sober?
Yeah, I'm always like drinking when I do my trades because it gives me like superpowers.
So talk to us about scotch. Why the hell are you destroying scotch with that sugar crap?
Well, not like high-end scotches. Like I'll have them with like ice and stuff. But you know, Johnny Walker or you know, like McAllister's or just like those, you know, $30-$40 bottles.
If you're spending $30-$40 on a scotch, wouldn't you pay an extra $10 and get something half decent?
But I like drinking like scotch with Cokes too much, so I don't really see the point.
Here's the irony. You're spending $30-$40 a bottle of scotch and $10 on Coke, you may as well buy a good scotch.
But then you can't drink it with Coke unless you've got Coke.
Juddy, I've been given a number of Johnny Walker Red Label whiskey over the years, which is awful. And
without Coke, it is.
I tried to find a way to drink it, and it was recommended to get Drambuie. Go 50-50 whiskey and Drambuie, and you have a drink called the Rusty Nail, which was popular in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, the Rusty Nail's good.
Is that when you were a kid, Wayne? Your parents used to drink it, did they?
We need to be careful talking about Coke too much, boys, after the Bailey Smith footage that come out of here.
Yeah, that's a retro like, you know. Yeah, sort of like, yeah, which Coke are we talking about? Okay. We don't want to go to the Bailey Smith Coke.
So we're going to start with your team, Juddy?
Yeah, let's go. What
do you want to know about my disaster?
Yeah, we've sort of gone off track a little bit, so we'll bring it back to Supercoach, but good to have a bit of a laugh.
To talk about different stuff.
So first thing we like to do, Juddy, is go through our teams and just sort of say where our team sits at the moment, what you like about it, what you hate about it, and I suppose in the bye rounds, how many players you've got coming up for this week.
Okay. What was that again?
You want me to ask those questions one at a time? Or?
Yeah.
What do you like about your team?
I was just like trying to pour another drink. Sorry.
What do you like about your team?
What do I like about it? Not much. Because I'm like, I'm ranked like 9,389, so it's not much to like about it. I'm stuck with like Tom Mitchell at MA and Paddy McCartan at F6 at the moment. So, but I brought like Max Gorn in last week and he's already going to trade him out again. And like, that sort of like reminds me of like when I traded Whitfield out. So I got, you know, pissed off with him in like after round three and traded him out for Hall. And then, you know, he lasted a few weeks. You know, I didn't get one ton from him. He tonned up the first 2 weeks. I didn't get like one ton from him. And then he like his fucking hammy exploded on me. So, you know, I just, the super coach guys haven't beaten me this year. They just like deserted me.
So how many trades left? And then you said you got a couple upgrades to do, right?
Tommy Mitchell is like staying in the he's like an MA for the rest of the year. I've got no choice because, you know, I've got two trades left. And like I've got like him at, I just like two trades.
I'm assuming that's after three this week.
This week I brought in Tommy Stewart. Like, I got rid of Max Gorn for Tommy Stewart.
So hang on, step back a bit. So why are you bringing Tommy Stewart in now when he's going to drop 50K over the next 2 weeks?
He might not
drop 50K.
I got a funny feeling he's going to kill it against West Coast.
So
you're assuming the ball's going to be the West Coast forward line a bit?
It always is, but I don't like that argument. Like teams always get enough inside 50s, and typically the crap teams just bomb it in, and they're the ones that get intercepted. I reckon he's going to get a shitload of marks. I can seriously see. What's his break even? I reckon he's going to top
it's it. About 140 something, isn't it?
If it's only 137, he's going to make cash this week.
Yeah, because you know what?
Yeah,
like Geelong,
but it's not. Yeah, but it's so. But it's not this week. So it's next week. So this week, even if he only hits his projected 117, he drops 9K. It's the following week where he drops 40K with that 39 still sitting his three-week rolling average. So it's not this week he's going to drop. It's the following week.
Yeah, but if he gets a 137, you're going to be wrapped.
You don't care.
Are any of you guys going to make him vice captain?
I don't have him, and I'm not taking him, but. If I could and need another defender, I'd grab him in a heartbeat against the Eagles. He could just go astronomical. Like, what's he pumped out? A couple 170s, 190 almost. Yeah. Like, it's seeing one of those coming.
And the other thing, Steve, is they're playing West Coast this week. They've got five games at the Cattery on the run home, and the last game of the year is against West Coast again.
Yeah, no, they have the best run. That's why I am adamant on getting a Cats player, and I've just decided to get Cam Guthrie. But we can talk about that later anyway. But, yeah, I just think there's a lot of points to go around. I think the Cats are going to win a lot of games. I think Hawkins, Duncan, I think they're all value.
Jeremy Cameron as well. A lot of people are getting Jeremy Cameron in.
Yeah, exactly.
I've just done the math. So if he does 140 this week and 140 next week, he still drops 30K.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, but does it really matter at this stage of the year if you just got a 140 average?
50K doesn't matter. It's like 50K you're talking about.
If you get back-to-back 140s, even if he drops 100K, you'll be wrapped with that. All the scores, all that matters, especially this time of the year. Who cares about the 50K?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, particularly if you've got almost if you've got a complete side, the price really is irrelevant. Right? You only need the cash. But when you're upgrading.
Yeah. I think if you're going to get him and you're hanging on to him dropping like 30, 40, 50K and you're waiting for that, I think you might be surprised. Like I can easily see him pumping out a 160, 170.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
I think if you want him, just get him now. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, well, if you can afford him. Yep. If you can afford him, though.
I reckon just get him in this week.
Yeah.
Well, for example, so sort of skipping to my team, sort of, but so I'm going to take Gorn out. So it's English or Wits. If I take English because he's cheaper as an argument's sake and then move SDK to Himmelberg, I've got 152K in the bank to upgrade McCartan to Stewart, which I can't do. Whereas in 2 weeks, McCartan will be 400. So it gives you enough to do the upgrade then.
Have you got English?
Well, I'm going to. I'll either get English or Wits for Gorn, one of the two.
Oh, you don't have them at the moment.
Well, no, I got Gorn and Pruce, Super Primo Pruce. Remember him?
Oh, Pruce.
Now, if Pruce doesn't get named, you've got both your
options.
Pruce will get named, I reckon. Flynn was nothing special.
Flynn was fucking terrible.
Yeah, Flynn got destroyed. And the three talls who they're playing with at the moment are doing well, like Hogan, Riccardi, and Sproul with a bunch of smalls. I can see Pruce coming in as a solo ruck.
You think they'll drop Flynn?
I think they'll drop Flynn, yeah.
Yeah, if he was he had 8 hitouts to 60 or something ridiculous like that, and they won the games like easily. He was poo. He really was. And I know people say don't change a winning team, but he was fucking abysmal.
Well, we're gonna find out how much the coach loves him.
But I mean, either way, that's irrelevant because Bruce is not going anywhere. I'm at the stage now where I'm not going to go down Judd Magic's path and have 2 trades left. So I've just got to stick with him. I mean, if he doesn't come back after the buys, that's when you go, all right, I've got to make a move because I've got to defend the title and win my back-to-back big freeze title now that I've fucking given a Wayne's a flog picture up in there and been admitted into the comp. So,
yeah, that was because of a donation of another poster. That was Jay Deasy, who was number one this round for round 13. He put a donation in and he asked me to give it to you.
Really? So
he's paid for your entry.
Well, I paid for my own entry. I made my own donation. That is very, very nice of him. I must thank him when I'm in the forum. So he's not entering his own side?
Yeah, no, he's already paid for a beanie. He did the right thing. But he knew you were struggling, so he asked me. He's put a $100 donation in, and he's asked me to please let Jisco in.
Well, you're a flog. Yeah, no, that's good. That's very nice of him. I'll thank him for that. It's very nice people do that. But
quickly,
how much did the beanies cost? $25.
$25
plus shipping.
Right, it'll take them $10 to make the beanies. So you've all donated $15. I've donated $20, cash in hand. So I don't understand what the issue is.
Well, JDZ donated $100.
Yeah, what a legend he is doing that too. Yeah. I might add. Yeah. Look, you know, $25 is great.
To be fair, he did win $1,000.
Oh, he would have won. He would have won $2,000. He would have won $2,000. You get double if you're a super coach, gold, whatever it's called, subscriber.
Oh yeah.
Hang on. Sorry. Okay. Sorry. Backtrack. Did he? Did you? Sorry. I'm fucking just missed that. Did he win the weekly last week?
Yeah. 2,200 and something. Sorry.
That shows how busy my week's been. I didn't even realize that.
Well, yeah, that's huge. Mate, so he was number one overall.
Oh well, that's fucking massive.
Yeah.
Oh, big shout out to you then.
Yeah, he did a fantastic job and very humble about it too.
You got a bench for him? You got a bench for him yet? Wayne?
Sorry?
Flogman, you got a bench for him?
Yeah, I'm going to organise it at the end of the season.
What, you haven't done one already?
I've got one ready, but I've got to edit it.
Oh, fuck. So, you're slipping, mate. You're slipping.
No, I've got one ready.
Let's get back on track. Before we finish up with JM's side, JM, just give us a little rundown of your the last 2 spots on each line and then your bench. So, you know, D5, D6 and your bench and so on. Let's just see how you're rounding out and, you know, your cover's looking because that's what everybody's interested in at this time of the year.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, starting from the back line, got Crisp and Short at D5 and D6. Then I got... Weir and Cleary on the bench. Midfield, I got Petreka shit tracker, as I, you know, call him on Big Footy. And Titch, his new nickname is Zitch because he does fucking zit, you know, fucking fuck all. It's pissing me off. Seriously, with Mitchell, I've been watching him the last few weeks because he's in my team. But he's getting enough of the ball. He's a clanger king, a butcher, you know, shit tracker. But I think, like, you know, Champion Data, like, they just don't, they don't have any love for him this year. Like, you know, they have, like, certain love for, like, you know, players. But, like, this year, there's none for, like, Tom Mitchell. Like, he's getting enough of the ball, but, and, you know, like, fact, you know, like, he has his fair share of clangers, like, you know, like a lot of inside mids do, but, yeah, he's just not getting the love.
Yeah, he's well and truly on my never again list, along with Dusty and Cripps, so I should have never broken that. But so yeah, he's had, last week he's had 28 possessions, 19 of them are dinky little 5 second, 5 meter handballs.
Yeah.
Which doesn't score well. And he's had a he's had 28 disposals, 19 of them are handballs, which don't score well. And he's going at a 67% disposal efficiency with four clangers and only five contested. So that's why he's not scoring well. And this has always been the criticism I've had at Titch throughout the forums, is that for him to score well, he needs to get 40 or 50 possessions just to score decent, because he does these dinky little bullshit handballs. And if he actually got in and under like Jelly does and got the contested ball and actually kicked the ball forward, or like Oliver does when he just bangs on his boot and kicks the 60 metres,
he'd actually score. He needs to kick more. He definitely needs to kick more than handball. That's like half his problem. Yeah, he handles too much.
And a lot of them are backwards handballs anyway. Like, they're nothing handballs. So I think his scores are reflective of the impact he has on the game.
Yeah. Well, I think it wasn't like last week, but I think it was like the week before. He had like nine clangers. Like, that's, this kills your score, you know. But nine clangers. And yeah, forward, it was like a couple of weeks ago. He had like nine clangers.
And your forward line? Yeah.
I'll say who my bench is, my midfield bench. I got like McComb and Clark at M9 and M10. Yeah, and then forward line.
Who's your M11?
M11. Owens, who just got KO'd. So
did you trade him back in, or have you held him all year?
I've had him since the start. Just been sitting on my bench, rotting away. I've used him as a loophole a couple of times.
Have some sympathy for those of us who roughed him back in for a fucking 26.
If I'd have like roughed him out, I would have roughed him back in just for the laughs, you know. That's the way I roll. That's just the way I roll. Yeah, I love a good roughie. I'll talk about my forward line. I just like traded in him or Goat, like the Goat, 187. He's at F5. And then we got superstar, you know, rookie McCartan at F6. And then I've got Jeffrey at F7 and Hamilton. I can't bloody understand how he got dropped. I'll never understand it. He was playing so good, and he just, and fucking McVee just like dropped him. I don't get it.
Yeah, he had 20 possessions the week before he was dropped, I reckon.
Yeah, and apparently he did pretty well in the twos like last week. So he could. He might be in for a sneaky recall.
I reckon the old coach liked him and the new coach liked Ware, and they've just straight swapped in that spot. It's just as simple as that. He's just come in and said, I don't think Hamilton's ready. I think Ware's ready, and that's it, because it's the same role.
Hamilton was capable, though. He's, like, capable at AFL level.
Yeah, he looked good to me as well. He actually got better stats at AFL level than he did at VFL level. So.
Yeah, which just makes it makes it strange.
Just like, a big shout-out to all. Just a big shout out to all those in the Supercoach Big Footy community that brought Himmelberg in last week as well. And it was talked about, I think, halfway through the first, buy round. I can't keep up. I think it was round 11 or whatever it was, the round before the buys. It was talked about quite often throughout the chat on that game or match day thread. But me being me, I just completely forgot about him when it came down to training him in, because he had a really impressive role. So for those that brought him in for his 187, that's just absolutely massive. I think he's gone up something ridiculous like 80K.
85K.
Which is astronomical, and you sort of expect that with 187. But he's break-even at the moment, and I can't remember, was minus 50 or something? Or someone correct me?
He's supposed to go up another 66,000 this week.
Yeah, but his break even is minus 55. Like that is just, if you're going to get him or Berg, you have
minus
to get
60, him. Minus 61, his break even is.
Yeah.
You have to get him this week if you want him.
Yeah. Toxic, like, you know, told me to get him in. I didn't listen.
No one listens to Toxic.
he's on the money, that guy.
Well, he is this year because, we discussed this a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, Judd. He says, so normally Toxic goes out and takes those sort of left field, mid prices, risky picks, and it always or tends to normally backfire on him. Whereas this year, they've all come out.
Oh, he's been on the ball. Absolutely
firing it. And I think we've seen that across the board. So there's a lot of experienced, good super coaches that normally rank really highly this year that are perhaps 10 to 15,000 in the ranks because it's just been where the guns and rookies has just absolutely failed this year, whereas those mid-price teams have just flown through. So they're the people holding those top spots. So it'd be interesting to see how the rest of the season pans out on that front.
Next year, I'm going mid-price madness.
Well, yeah.
Judgment Day. Judgment Day is like a big fan of mid-price madness. He always tells me to do it.
It's tempting to do that after there's been one successful year, but in my, I don't know, 15, 20 years playing super coach, guns and rookies always is the best way to start.
Traditionally, that's the way to go.
Yeah, it's just been one of those years out of the box. And if you can pick the right one out of 20, well, good luck to you.
Yeah, true.
All right, so just before we move on to Wayne and Steve, the one thing we haven't asked you, Juddy, is how many have you got on the park this week going into the last bye round?
19. That's actually a pretty good round, like, you know, with these three trades that I've done. I've got 19 last week.
When you say 19, did those 19 play either last week or the week before, or you're making assumptions that some get selected?
They should all play. There's no iffy ones.
Yeah, so when I ask that question, I suppose I'm thinking of Owens, Proust, Morris Rioli, Hamilton.
Not counting any of them.
Okay, cool. Oh, that's a good start.
Yeah, so I should have 19 this week.
Isn't it funny how I think most of us 4 or 5 weeks ago were looking at this round going, oh, I've got 23, this is going to be a piece of piss, and now all of a sudden I've got 18, 19.
I can't get Sam Hayes. Surely he's like better than, you know, Finlayson and Dixon in the ruck.
So have you still got Hayes, have you?
Well, I had him until this week. I'm going to trade him out for Teagle so I can afford to get Stewart and Himmel goat in.
Yeah, no, you have to, if you've still got Hayes, I think he has to go now, surely.
Yeah. I can't see him
coming last back. Last week was really good for that.
Yeah.
All right, Wayno, run us through your team or what you like or don't like. I suppose we don't have this.
Okay, I'm going to share my screen. Okay, so actually this...
Hang on. It hasn't appeared for everyone waiting at home. Just wait for it to click up for them.
I can see it.
You can see it.
Yeah.
I just went over everyone's head. Don't worry about it. Keep going.
Yeah, I got it.
I've had good buy rounds so far, so I've increased the rankings both weeks. 1.862 last week. Great match we had up in BFA league, Jessica. Very close.
Oh, sorry. Did we play each other? Did we?
Yes, we did.
Well, who won?
Me by about 250 points.
Oh, good stuff. Well, seeing I beat you by 250 the week before was probably the right week to pay me, wasn't it?
So the original trade this week was just going Brody down to Himmelberg, which put $135,000.
Hang on. Sorry. Did you just say you traded Brody out?
Yep.
Oh, I wouldn't have done it.
No, but this is... Nah. These are the genius moves you've got to make. All right.
This is not going to age well, but that's all right. Keep going.
No. This was a very, very calculated plan. So Himmelberg puts $135,000 in my bank. 2 weeks' time is up at $535,000. I can then use a very small portion of that money to trade Brody back in if I want. I can upgrade McCartan or I can upgrade Butters. So once I've got that money in the bank, it's only 2 weeks, then I've got a lot of options in front of me.
So hang on. So hang on. So your plan is to trade Brody out and then train him back in 2 weeks?
That's his worst case. That's his worst case scenario. Because Himmelberg's projected about 80, and that's he's still going to make 64K with an 80.
Well, you're not going to make money out of Himmelberg because no one's bringing him in thinking they're going to trade him out again.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I think he's just looking at it from a point of just as a last resort. Like a worst case, he pumps out a couple 80s or 70s.
Yeah.
And then he still makes almost 100K.
His projection this week is 81. And on 81, he goes from 435 to 499 if he pumps out an 81. So,
well, yeah, my argument is it doesn't matter what Himmelberg's price is because you're not going to trade him out again, are you? Otherwise, you
Yes, absolutely. If he bombs, absolutely, I'll trade him up. And I'll probably trade him up to Bontempelli.
Mm.
So, no, I had to do it because my bench is too weak. If I try and wait for my bench to build some dollars, I'll be waiting for another 4 or 5 rounds. So this is a quick way of getting a cash grab. I could have traded Cameron. I could have traded Butters. But Butters was only going to give me 50 grand. Hardly worth doing the trade. So Himmelberg gave me 135,000 and it opens up a world of options. Now, my problem was I still had McCartan sitting at F6. So the beauty of this week...
Why wouldn't you trade Shitfield?
Why?
Shitfield.
No. Gorn the Stewart was a straight swap for swap, no cash. There was only $3,000 difference between the price of Stewart and Gorn. So all of a sudden, Gorn out fixes my problem in defence. I've now got a completed defence.
Right. I think, I'm with Wayne, and there's a lot of the people on the board doing the same thing. So the assumption is you look at somebody like Himmelberg playing that role, which is probably the most Supercoach-friendly role. It's third defender intercepting.
I don't think anyone's arguing against Himmelberg.
Yeah, so the argument then is even if you, let's say we disregard the North game, you look at his 80 and he's 127. He's averaging still just over 100, right? Brody's averaging about 105. Another assumption you can make is with Fife in the side, he loses about at least 5 points per game. Yeah. I'd say it's closer to 10, but yeah, let's say it's at least 5 points a game of just less clearances he's going to get. Because Brody was the first one at the ball. And Fife's going to be doing that a little bit now as well. So yeah, he loses some points there. So you're essentially, it's a swap downgrade. Like all you're doing is, if the assumptions play out, you're getting the same average. If not, Himmelberg could even push it if Brody drops 10 points a game and Himmelberg goes about 100, 105, and you're gaining that money. Brody is stupidly expensive. 560K, gets you so much.
Brody wasn't increasing in price anymore. If you look at his
positions. Exactly. Oh, he's peaked. 100% he's peaked. Yep.
He's peaked, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Jessica, there is no difference between downgrading Brody to Himmelberg than it was from downgrading Gorn to Preuss. No difference. You're trading down and you're using the money.
It was because Will Brody is currently on a 5-round average. He's the number 2 scorer in the forward line on 115. Even if he drops, and you're suggesting he drops 5 points, let's go ultra ambitious and say he drops 10 points. That brings him to the number 7 highest averaging forward.
Himmelberg has a 3-round average of 130.
I got no issue with Himmelberg. I think you're crazy. I think that if anyone's in a position to be able to trade Himmelberg in this week and doesn't, they got rocks in their heads. I think Himmelberg has to come in. That's a lock for me. My issue is trading Brody out. Even last week with Fife in the side, he had something ridiculous like 27 CBAs.
Here's the other thing. McCartan in 2 weeks' time will be 400 grand. 400 grand plus 138 I've got in my bank, I've got a 538 that I can spend.
Well, so Josh, even if Brody drops 10 points from his five round average, he's still averaging more over five rounds than Josh Dunkley.
But why are you dropping the 10 points from his five round average? There's a couple of really big, looking at his overall average, right? Like on the weekend, he had like 60 something time on ground. That was what he was having at the start. So like that was as low as it was at the start of the year. So I think you have to kind of look at it as his average score of 105. That's what I was alluding to. If that drops by 5 points per game or 10, you're looking at a 95 to 100 average. Yes, he had the most CBAs on the weekend, but he spent a lot more time on the bench because Brody can only play in the middle. He can't play anywhere else. So with Fife getting a few more, his first game back, he had, 14 or 15? And he was winning clearances. He was first to the ball, whereas Brody was the only one doing that, and he was feeding your Sarong and your Mundy and your Brayshaw. Whereas with Fife, even if he doesn't get as many CBAs, Fife is winning the ball because he's Fife.
Yep.
So that's just... Yep. I'm sure the break will do him well, and I think he's going to come out and be a great keeper. I think he's fine. It's just when you have not a lot of cash on your bench and he's a lot of money, and it's the way I see it is I'm getting the same points at a minimum. That's how I feel. Yep. And I think Himmelberg could top Brody on the way home, and I'm also getting that money to help elsewhere. And that's Steve, how I see it.
And Steve, so at a pinch.
Oh, sorry. And it fixes my buy.
And Steve, at a pinch, I can trade McCartan back up to Brody in 2 or 3 weeks' time.
Yeah, at a worst case, if he goes mental or if Fife gets injured again.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, fair enough. Correct. That's. I think it's. Yeah, it's, you know, that makes sense to me. I've got trash money on my bench. It's just a way to get money, finish my side, get something I'm happy with, and I don't have to worry about Brody getting, you know, 65% time on ground and scoring 80s. Like, I think Brody will be a great pick. I'm a big advocate for keeping him. Round 14 by struggling a little bit, the best way I can, one, fix that, and two, get money. Because I have no round 14 rookies I can cash in. All my rookies were from the last two rounds. So what about
Dunkley? So Dunkley in the last 5 weeks has scored a 78 and a 60, he's got a 66 in his last game, and he's set to drop 30K.
Yeah, but so you'd be pretty game to trade him out. I mean, if you're going to trade anyone out, you'd trade Butters.
I think you've made, and quite correctly, you've made the point that that's not going to give you enough cash to only give you 50K.
It gives me 50K, nothing.
So I suppose the question for me, the question I'm asking is, if you're going to trade Brody, why don't you just trade Dunkley instead?
But why? Dunkley's got a higher average overall, and his three-round average and five-round average is like pretty similar. It's still 108 and 104. Like, it's not like he's been like the last round was just bad. They lost. Like, they all scored poorly. Like, I just don't think that was a.
No, I just think there's more question marks over Brody than there are over Dunkley.
Dunkley's got a 66 and a 78, and I haven't looked at Brody, but I'd be staggered if he scored anything that low the whole season because he's always gone pretty high. Well, so they're pretty low scores. And I think the issue with the Bulldogs, which we touched on in the last podcast too, when the Bulldogs get beaten, there's so many people there that have to share. So you've got, I suppose you don't have Bailey Smith now, but you've still got you got Dunks, McRae, Treloar, Bontempelli, Dale, Helmet Head. So you've got all these guys that normally average about 100 points. So there's 600 or 700 points straight off the bat. So if the Bulldogs lose and there's only 1,400 points to go around the whole side, they're not going to take half the team's points. So if the Bulldogs score well and win, that's great. But here's their draw coming up. GWS, Hawthorn, fair enough. Then they've got Brisbane, Sydney, St Kilda, Melbourne, Geelong, Fremantle. Like, and you guys are the ones that talk about really good opposition. That is a ridiculous 6 weeks coming up.
Which player's going to benefit with Smith being out?
Dunkley's. Look, at the end of the day, one of the big driving factors, and I'm assuming this is for you as well, Wayne. Like, if you want to make up ground, you got to score well over the byes. Dunkley's playing this week, and Brody's not.
No, that's right.
And Dunkley has a higher ceiling. And, better history. Obviously, I think Brody is a great pickup. If I had 200-300k cash from a downgrade, or if I didn't do stupid shit like trading Hobbs out after 2 weeks because I was pissed off and ended up missing out on 200k. And if, you know, if I didn't do stupid shit like that, I would have money to cash, but I'm a moron and I don't, and I've got to find cash from somewhere. And I think it's okay. And there's a shitload of people doing it. Don't get me wrong. Brody could come out in round 15 and pump out a 140. And I'll be like, yeah, I actually advocated for this. I think he's a great hold, but you've got to make these decisions.
Steve, the other option that I had was to move Brody into the midfield and trade Zerat. But there was about $35,000 difference.
Yeah, well, see, and you only just brought Zerat in. Yeah, look, I think it's it's an easier pill to swallow because Brody costs 220k. It's really easy to swallow that. You're getting 330k and 105 average for the year. You know, sure, you don't want to get rid of him. He is for sure a primo. And at a worst case, he's going to go 90, 95, 100 from here on. But swallow it because he was so cheap.
In the history,
what do you reckon, Juddy?
Well, yeah, I've got no choice. I've got to keep Brody. But so, two trades left. He's a keeper for me.
in the history of Supercoach, there are many, many instances where the number one ranked player in a forward mid defence has been traded down.
I agree. Like, you've got to do something ballsy to drop the rankings. You can't follow the pack. Yeah, exactly.
No, you get nowhere.
I agree. I've always had the philosophy that, you've got to do something ballsy to get up the rankings.
Yep, yep. Well, that means having a few pods.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, that's why I'm bringing Hilberg in he's the ultimate pod.
Yep.
Well, if you want to do something really ballsy, why don't you trade McRae to Himmelberg?
Because McRae's playing and Brody wasn't.
Yeah.
So it gives me 19 players on the field this week instead of 18.
Yeah.
Do you reckon with Smith out now that maybe McRae will go back to his 130s, 140s? Yeah,
potentially. The other thing is, who's the full forward from the Bulldogs that hasn't been playing for a while?
Bruce.
Now, when Bruce comes back and he's playing this weekend in the VFL, when he comes back, that's going to free up Bontempelli.
Yeah.
It's going to free up all of them. Even Duncan's been playing full forward and Treloar's been spending a shitload of time there as well. They've been giving wing time and even a bit of time on ball to their rookies so they can have these experienced guns up in the forward line. But Lackey Hunter is playing VFL, I think, as well. Bruce is playing VFL. Johannesson is back and the coach loves him playing as that pressure forward. So I think all these guys are guys like McComb will start getting dropped and then, Treloar will say rest on a wing instead of up forward. So same with Dunkley. They're just going to get all their guns back around the ball because their forward line will actually have forwards in it.
Yep, correct. Mm. Correct. So just finishing off on my side, back line's all set, midfield's all set, down to rucks are set. And it's just these little forwards that I've got to play around with now. But I could quite happily run with those six forwards.
And how many trades left? And you got one upgrade. And then how's your bench looking?
Bench, I've got Weir, Cleary in defence. I've got Owens, Pedler, Rioli.
That's a worry.
Yeah. And I've got Clark and McDonald up forward. So
I guess Clark and McDonald can swing to your mid bench with Pedler, so you might be all right.
All of them have got mid forwards, but there's not enough cash generation for me to generate the cash to do some of these upgrades. So I had to downgrade a premium. Had no choice.
Yeah, that's fair enough. You got to do what you got to do. I'm in a similar position as well. So
all
the team's coming together, but.
After the trades, I've still got 8 trades left and 138 in the bank.
That's handy. I reckon that's you. that's a rarity. Having almost 140K in 8 trades, I'd say you are well above the pack in that sense.
Yep, and 19 players this week. Most of them are primos. So very happy.
Run us through your team, Steve.
All right. I had 18 last week, and I had the Parrish and Owens injury, so that hurt. If I didn't have that, I would have scored much better. But I ended up jumping up a couple thousand spots. I'm sitting at about 10K now, and 4 weeks ago I was at 23K. So definitely moving on up to get something respectable. This week I'll have, I'd say, at least 19, maybe even 18 if a lot of rookies get dropped. But yeah, a lot of people are pushing 20-21 this week. I'm struggling a little bit, you know, because I've got Owens who's not going to play because he's KO'd. Hamilton's dead. And then I've got a couple Collingwood players, couple Melbourne players, and then Sicily and Neil. So yeah, struggling a little bit, but I still think I'll be all right.
Most of the top teams would have Sicily, Neil, and Oliver. So there's 3 primos out this week.
Yeah, the issue with me and Cameron, a lot of people have Cameron. The issue for me is I have a few shitty PODs that have their bye this week in
Brody.
Yeah, Brody. And then, yeah, I have Luke, number one Ruck Jackson, who should be pumping out 100 soon.
Ben.
And I also have Jordan DeGoey, anyway, about that, I've just convinced myself that he's going to have a good end to the year and he's staying for now, but whatever. So my trades this week are Gorn to Laird in a straight swap, and then English goes to the Rucks. I've dropped Brody for Himmelberg for that cash, and then I've turned De Koning into Cam Guthrie, who has a 3-round average of 117, has an average of 110 at playing in Geelong, and they have a really good fixture, and I reckon he can go 110 at a minimum with a couple of, you know, big flukes in there against shitty sides and in big wins. So team's coming along. Bench cover is okay with these trades. I've got Ware and Camus down back, not sure about that. That's the iffy one. In the middle I've got Cooper Stevens, Hoff and Owens, but one of them will become a mid forward in the next couple of weeks, so I can open up that link. And then up forward, I've got Hamilton, who's, dead. And then I've got DeGoey sitting at F7. So DeGoey will be able to cover the midfield and forward, and obviously Rucks as well, because I've got Jackson, Cameron, and English. 6 trades left, nothing in the bank. But, I think my team's all right. Few risks, but hopefully, you know, that pushes me up and I get something respectable.
6 trades going to be enough?
Probably not when you look at the players I have, but I don't really have a choice. Like I've still got Parrish, of course, and he'll probably miss. It'll only be a 1-weeker, I hope, but I'm not trading him.
You wouldn't trade him.
But I mean, that's the thing. I'm sure Jiska's going to come out now and say, why wouldn't you trade Parrish if he's out and hold Brody? But I just think Parrish has a higher ceiling. Since I brought him in, he's averaged almost 130 for me, so. Apparently, he got the corky in the first ruck contest last week. Like, literally the first bounce of the game. That's why he was struggling so much, and it just got worse as they kept playing him. So, it's just an unlucky one. So, I'll back him in.
Yeah, so for me, finally getting near a completed team. I've done 2 trades. So, I've brought in Himmelberg for SDK. And English in for Gorn at this stage, although it might be Witts, not too sure. So that brings my defence to Sicily, Sinclair, Hewitt, Crisp, Short, McCartan, with Ware and that dickhead Cox on the bench. Midfields, Oliver, Neil, Laird, McRae, Took, that dickhead Patrick Cripps, Zach Merritt, Christian Petrarca, with Clark Howen, Owens on the bench, English and Proust in the ruck, with Teakle, I think everyone's got. And down forward, Dunkley, Brody, Parker, Cameron, Butters, Himmelberg with 2 dead Morrisrell and Hamilton rookies on the bench. What I'm tossing up about is, so I've got 152K in the bank, and that gives me just enough money to upgrade McCartan to Stewart in a couple of weeks if everything goes right, but it might not, so you just don't know. But what I'm seriously contemplating is pissing Petrarca off for one of Canelio, because I think I'm man enough to admit that I fucked that up. But, you know, at the time it made sense with 150 break even and a new coach coming in and he's playing like a dickhead. But, you know, he's playing in the midfield, he's on fire, and his coach says, no, nah, staying there, I love him there. So either Petraka to Canelio or even Petraka to Mills. So Petraka to Canelio leaves about 140 in the bank, which won't give me enough to upgrade McCartan to Stewart. So I'm going to have to do a down to get that cash anyway. So given that, maybe Petraka to Mills is the right move to really just make that a super midfield. But that leaves me with seven trades, would mean I need to go down, probably Clark down and McCartan up. So it would bring me down to five trades, and fingers crossed everything fucking works. But by that stage, it'd be approaching round 16. So it'd be five trades with, I don't know, seven rounds left, but I don't know.
Jessica, McCartan's not the worst D6. He's still pumping out 80s and 90s.
But he's no top six.
Sorry?
But you'd rather have Petraka and Tom Stewart than Mills and McCartan.
Well, why don't you take McCartan to the forward line and trade Butters to Stewart?
I don't know about Butters.
Right. But I agree with you, I'd upgrade Petraka.
Yeah.
If you're gonna carry, let's say you carry McCartan as a weak either F6 or D6, as long as you make sure all your other players in the other 21 positions are strong, you can carry one.
Yeah, well, I think I'm happy doing that. And I think even if Stewart drops to 550 and mucks around a bit and sits there, I could even trade him in a couple of rounds later for 600 if I have to and just make that my final upgrade. You know, hold on to five trades. And I just don't like Petraka there. I've never liked him. I resisted him all year. I got sucked in by a couple of good games. And once Juddy traded him, I thought, well, fuck, if the great man's trading him, and I'm trading him.
Well, I reckon you should do track to Stewart right now. And then I reckon next week you should one up, one down and get the best defender. Sorry, the best, like whatever you can get. Even if you have to play Dunkley in the middle or something like that.
Well, I can do Petraka to...
Yep, you can do that.
Because track to Stewart leaves you, what, about 30K in the bank? If my math is roughly.
Just do it, yeah.
And then next week, if you...
But it puts Paddy McCartan... Oh, well, I suppose I can move someone else instead of Cox.
Well, I'd just look to then trade McCartan next week. Like, what's McCartan about to go up? He'll be near 400K, right?
Yeah, he goes up.
Yeah, so then 400K plus... Yeah, so close to 400K plus whatever, 30 left over, and then you downgrade Clark next week to somebody who's on the bubble or somebody playing. Like, we're about to get a shitload of rookies, I reckon.
Yeah.
Use that cash to just get, like, the best. Yeah, so 35K plus McCartan plus the money you get from downgrading Clark next week, you'll be able to get, like, a 600K player. And then you're done with five trades left and a much better side. And then... Yeah,
well,
you bring in next week, you'd assume maybe there'll be a forward rookie, and then you can kind of fix up your forward bench as well.
But that's no different whether I bring Stewart in this week and Mills in next week, or Mills in this week and Stewart next week.
Yeah, well, it's just like Stewart versus Eagles, and again, Mills could absolutely destroy Port because they haven't been that good this year. I mean, it's look, you flip a coin.
The only question mark on Mills is he's playing at Adelaide Oval.
Well, he's not having the record then.
Well, if he was playing up in Sydney, I'd have no hesitation.
I can't find it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I think it ultimately comes down to how many trades you want to have left. Because even like with 152K, can you turn McCartan into someone right now? I think you're about 10, 20K short off Doherty. Is there anyone that's actually worth bringing
in? Well, I think though that I've only got 18, I think, on the park. So I'd rather trade for Tracker this week and get a playing player and leave.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I guess, look, if you keep a track, if you keep track this week, you're keeping him, like you're committing to keeping him.
Yeah, that's right. You're keeping him for the year. And I don't think he's a year-long keeper. So,
well,
so
what about, like, are you 100% set on somebody like Mills or Stewart that are super expensive? You're not keen to, like, look, like you can do track to, like, Doherty for like 60K and then you still have money to upgrade. Or you can look at somebody like Cam Guthrie or Keys, who's averaging 115 and still pretty cheap. Like, there's a lot of value around. Like, if you want another forward, like Heaney's really cheap and coming off a break, like, I reckon there's a bit of value around if you want to have a look. But if you're set on the big boys, then yeah.
Well, I think it has to be a midfielder, though. Like, yeah, Keys, I did look at Keys. Keys is a good option. But I also look at it and go, well, if I'm only at Keys for, 110 average, I might as well pay the extra 50K and get a guy that could potentially score 180.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I get that. I mean, because Mills has got another 200 in him for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think at this stage in the season, you got to trade someone going, if this doesn't work, I'm fucked. So if I trade Keys in and it just doesn't pan out the way I want it to, I'm stuck with him for the year. So I'd have a lot more confidence with Mills for the rest of the season than I would Keys.
Yeah, I reckon have a think about it. Just if you're happy to let go of track and you don't think he's going to do that well, and especially with Gorn out now, maybe a few less touches in the middle and clearances. I mean, track had like 32 at like 70 or 80% on the weekend and still scored 99. If he's not going to go 130 with stats like that, that's pretty concerning.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and to be honest, I didn't even see him half the game. I don't even know how he got those positions, but he must have. Because he was, wasn't he something ridiculous? I think he was 60 at halftime, I think. Or something. He came out of the blocks really early.
Yeah, so he had 32 touches at 81%, 19 contested. But the 6 clangers and 2 frees against hurt. But you'd still think with those stats, 19 contested, 32 at 81%. That to me says like 120 plus for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. If you're content, if you're happy to get rid of track, I'd roll the dice and I'd either grab Stewart or Mills and then worry about McCartan next week or the week after. You know, one up, one down, and then deal with 5 trades.
Yeah, so that's for me at the moment, it's either go McCartan to Stewart and got 7 trades left, or just go, nah, stuff it. Track is not going to be a keeper. I'll just trade into Mills now and then do the one down, one up for McCartan to Stewart later, which I think is probably where I'm going to head. But I don't know. I'm just mindful at this stage of the year. We've still got, 10 rounds left? 8 rounds? Oh, I can't even keep up. Don't even know what round it is when I start the podcast.
Yeah, what is it? 10, right? 10? Yeah. 14?
I suppose this is the other thing which is in the back of my mind too, is I'm in a couple of cash leagues where I haven't done well because I just haven't started and I've lost a couple of games by a few points, and they're relegation leagues. And at this point, I'm just going, you know what? I just need to score some win, get some wins on the board before in the next 4 or 5 weeks, I'm going to get relegated. So, that's in the back of my mind as well, even though it's not my number one concern.
Which basically says you've got to trade Petrarca.
Yeah, well, I know. But, I think that's the right call. We'll see what it gets to. I suppose that brings us to how many trades we've got. Everyone knows what I've got because we just talked about it. And we know Juddy's got fuck all. And it's interesting, actually, Juddy. We had Cannonooks on earlier in the year. And in the first couple of weeks, he was just like you, mate. He was just going fucking bananas. He'd used all his boosts up after 5 rounds. He fucking made a ridiculous amount of trades. And I just said to him, mate, you are going to get to 0 trades before Juddy this year, and that's just fucking unheard of.
He's one of my top students.
Well, I reckon
he comes from my school.
I don't actually know how many trades he's got left, but he must be. You and him must be in a race to 0.
No, he's got 7 left.
7?
7? Yeah. He pumped the brakes on. Bloody hell!
Yeah, but before this week, I don't know. I think it's like, I think it might be 7 before he's like traded this week.
Yeah, okay. So they bring him down to 4.
Yeah,
right. Still, right. Yeah. He'd use 15 after 5 rounds.
Yeah, well, he comes from the school of Judd Magic, so he's one of my he's one of my top pupils.
I just wonder if it's your second login account. Have you got 2 accounts?
I've actually, entertained the thought of that.
Don't tell a mod that. Well, actually, don't tell two mods that.
It's crossed my mind many a times.
And how many trades you got left, Steve?
Six trades left. Team is done. I got nothing in the bank. So if I ever want to do something, I'm going to need to do a downgrade. But I'm locked into a downgrade because I have to open up the mid-forward link. So, and it's not going to net me much money. It'll be Cooper Stevens or Brady Hoff down to a forward rookie so I can whack Hamilton at M9 so I can open up that link. So that's going to happen either next week with Clark or the week after with somebody like Hollands or Cully or...
I think I'm looking for Greg Clark down to Clark. Clark to Clark. I think that's it. You still got Greg Clark, haven't you?
Ah, booted him last week. Needed the money.
Yeah, so I reckon Clark to Clark, and that nets me on 180K or something and gives me that forward mid-link. The only problem is that Greg Clark's reasonable cover.
I reckon he might lose his spot. Because they pushed him out of the middle and threw him on a wing, and then you've got Sheed, Yo, all about to come back, and then there's I don't know. I just don't think they have the faith in him, especially because you know they want to try get some wins and you know stop the rut. Like they're not exactly playing kids. Like like a lot of the big boys are coming back now, and they're actually going to throw him in. So. Yeah, I don't know. I'd be cautious. I mean, look, it's great to have him on the bench, but I reckon if you can cash him in.
And how many you got in the park this week, Steve?
Yeah, it should be 18, 19 or 20. I really don't know. Like I'm counting Cooper Stevens. I don't know. I know Cats have a shitload of players to come back, like Menegola and all that, but I don't know if they're here now. I'm hoping I get one more game out of Stevens because he could pluck a, 70-80 against the Eagles, but we'll see.
So I'll just open this up to all three of you. So are there any players that you're really looking at that are perhaps got low break-evens other than obviously Himmelberg, but any players coming up either this week or next week coming off the back of their round 14 bye that you think people need to be on the lookout for?
I reckon if you want a Cats player for the run home, you got to look at somebody like Guthrie and Jezus Cameron this week, even Hawkins and Duncan. Like they all have really low break-evens. So if you're going to grab an Eagles player, do it this week when they all got low break-evens and they're up against the Eagles. Otherwise, I think that ship will sail.
Yeah, I think you and I both, Steve, last year had Hawkins on the run home and he did quite well. I think Geelong have got, is it? Six of their last 10 games down at Kidinia Park where Hawkins just pulls them up.
Yeah, I think it's five out of 10 down there. And then of the last 10 games, two are against the Eagles and one is against North. And then a couple of the tough games are in Geelong. So that gives them a tick there. Like I think they got the Dogs in Geelong. They got the Tigers at the G, which is, pretty whatever, indifferent. And I think they've even got Melbourne down there as well, maybe, or Brisbane. But
No, Melbourne play down there. The only thing with the Eagles, though, is that for all their flaws, they've still got a pretty good defensive unit at the moment.
Yeah, but Darcy Fogarty and Tex just pumped out like 130s, 140s against them. So they concede too many inside 50s. It's as simple as that. Like, they've got no ruckman. They're playing like a child in the ruck. And like Reece Stanley is going to look like prime Gorn come this weekend. I'm telling you now.
Anyone you're looking at, Wayne?
I'll keep an eye on Steele. He's coming back in a couple of weeks. Apart from that, no, not really. Obviously my focus is on forwards. So if there's a couple of good forwards floating around, I'll have a look at them. I generally don't look at key position forwards, though.
Anyone for you, Juddy? Although I know you've got no...
My team's pretty much set now unless I miraculously have my two trades left come finals. So.
Yep, and in terms of rookies, there's only one rookie really, which is Clark. So we'll see how he goes. We need to disappear, and I need to go and get some food before I go to bed because it's pretty late at night over here when we're doing this recording anyway. So thanks to Judd Magic for joining us. It's great to have along, mate. Been a long time poster in the forum, certainly way before I've been on, which is about 10 years or so. So good to have you on board, and thanks for joining us tonight.
You too, Uncle. Yeah, it's like pleasure, absolute pleasure to, you know, be a part of the podcast.
No worries. Catch you later.